Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Give him all the praise. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Psalm 95, 1 to 3. Psalm 95, 1 to 3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, please listen to me. We are people who have an understanding of the things that we're doing. When you see us celebrate and rejoice, it is because we have tasted of the goodness of God. Now, let me give you the next 2 minutes. I don't know how you are going to thank the Lord, but in the name of Jesus Christ, open your mouth and say thank you. Begin to reflect on everything he's done. Everything he's done. Everything he's done. Everything he's done. For his kindness. For his faithfulness. Someone is giving him thanks. You had an accident this year, but you survived. Or you would have had an accident this year, but you survived. Thank him for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful. You said it and you kept your word. Shabalakata brandaka barakata. Someone say thank you. Many were buried this year minus you. Someone give God praise. You would have gone the way of the grave, but for his mercies. Thank God for Koinonia Global, for our programs this year. Thank him for the impact. We saw his mighty hand, his power in our midst. Thank him for safety as we traveled around the nations. Thank him for grace. Thank him for every department in this house. Thank him for every arm of expression in this ministry. Your faithfulness, oh God. We are a people helped by God. Marvelously helped by God. Shalamakata brandagabaratos. Thank him for mighty marriages. Thank him for children. Thank him for graduations. Thank you for jobs. Thank him for financial upliftments. Thank him for healings, for miracles. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for transformation. Thank him for wiping tears, opening doors, making ways. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. A grateful people are giving you praise. One more minute. You are telling him thank you. Thank him for your spouse, for your children, for every testimony, for challenges you survived. Thank him for the salvation of your soul. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. I thank you. Thank you for this year, for your power, for your wisdom, for help, marvelously helping us. Shabalanakata brandege berekotos yata, legrembegete baratos yata, for not giving us to the desires of our enemies. We say thank you for disappointing the strategies of the crafty. Thank you for deliverances, for help. Lord, we give you praise. 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 We are grateful. We are thankful. We are thoughtful. We are intentional about your mercies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have given thanks. Father, tonight I bow my knees on behalf of your people and on behalf of the globe watching, our family connected online and the body of Christ. We're not ashamed to declare before the nations that we are a people marvelously helped of God. For everything good, for everything God, for everything great, for everything worthy of praise and commendation, we say thank you. For helping us survive challenges, for not giving us to the desires of our enemies, for disappointing Satan again and again over our destinies, for stopping us from going the way of the grave, for stopping us from going the way of shame and reproach, we say thank you. The ones you've helped have come to worship you. The ones you've saved have come to worship you. The ones you've lifted have come to worship you. The ones you've blessed have come to worship you. Tonight, oh God, that you accept our hearts and then accept our worship, accept our declarations of thanksgiving. To you be all the glory, for in Jesus' matchless name we have worshipped. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, everybody. To God be the glory. Please, you may be seated. Good evening, everyone, and I welcome you on behalf of Jesus to our final service for 2025. We are excited as a people. I'm excited. It is the Lord's doing. He's been good to us. Turn to your neighbor and tell him or her congratulations. I'm saying congratulations because you are a finisher. You started well, and in the name of Jesus, you're finishing strong. To our family connected online, the Lord bless you. This is our end of year service. And don't mind our lavish declaration of praise. It is because we're a people who have been marvelously helped of God. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Anybody digging your grave is digging his grave. In the name of Jesus Christ. He would dig his grave and find out there's no sky again, because he would have covered himself. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's go to the final charge. Victory and dominion in the kingdom depends on our knowledge of God. Victory and dominion in the kingdom depends on our knowledge of the mysteries or the principles of the kingdom. And then victory and dominion in the kingdom depends on our diligence to engage what we know by faith. Let me take that again as an introduction. Victory and dominion in the kingdom depends on, number one, our knowledge of God. Daniel 11:32, the B part, but the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. So victory and dominion in the kingdom depends on, number one, our knowledge of God. Number two, our understanding or comprehension of the mysteries, the principles of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11, it has been given unto you, given unto me, given unto us, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible calls them the ordinances, the principles by which we establish dominion upon the earth. Job 38:33. The NIV says, knowest thou the ordinances? Do you know the laws of the heavens? It says, can you establish God's dominion over the earth? Do you know the laws? They are ordinances. And then victory and dominion depends finally on your diligence to engage these laws by faith. If you know God, if you understand the laws of the kingdom, and you fail to engage them by faith so that they commit God to deliver, you may not live a victorious and a fruitful life. We had an awesome time, by the way, in Zaria through the week. It was a great time strengthening our family there for one last time. And one of the things that the Lord laid in my heart to share with us, the Koinonia Global family, and then, of course, friends and other ministries, the body of Christ connected. Tonight is largely a reminder and an appraisal. We want to appraise ourselves and see how far God has helped us in terms of our growth, in terms of our spiritual understanding, in terms of our comprehending the mysteries of the kingdom. And so tonight I'm going to run through a checklist. I gave Zaria 12. I gave our leaders at the prayer this morning, I don't know how many, maybe 11 or 12. But I'm going to give us the remaining, let's say, I'll give us 18. I'll run down a list of 18 mysteries of the kingdom. And it's going to be a checklist. Please look up. Tonight is an assessment. As I dictate these mysteries of the kingdom, you are going to test your level of spiritual growth. You will test your level of understanding and your level of comprehension. And let me challenge those who are following online, participate in this appraisal process. Get your phones, get a notebook, get something to write. I'm going to be listing for you the mysteries of the kingdom. And you will be gauging how much of these you have learned and how much of these you know. These are the mysteries that produce dominion and victory in the life of a believer, any believer at all. These are the mysteries that by the mercies of God have brought us where we are and will take us where we need to go. This is by no means everything, but I guarantee you by the mercies of God, if you lay hold on these mysteries, it is impossible to fail in life. Impossible. Hallelujah. And so for a topic tonight, I call it Dominion Checklist. Dominion Checklist. This is our end of year appraisal, Dominion Checklist. We're appraising our spiritual progress, appraising our level and extent of comprehending the mysteries of the kingdom. We'll look at three scriptures and then I'll run through the checklist very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Dominion Checklist. Wherefore, I would not be negligent, he says, to put you always, always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth. So Apostle Peter is speaking and he's saying, even though I have taught you once again, these truths are captured in my epistles, but I will not be negligent to always bring you in remembrance of these things. Second scripture, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear unto all. Paul is charging his son in the gospel, Timothy, and he's telling him to meditate on the things that he has been taught. All of the principles that have been communicated unto him. He said, give yourself wholly to them. And he leaves him with an assurance that his profiting would appear unto all. I give you the final scripture. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and we'll read verse 5. It says to examine yourselves. The word examine there means appraise. It means assess. Assess yourselves. Examine yourselves. Appraise yourselves. Whether you are in the faith, it says, prove your own selves. You see that now? So the Bible allows you to have periods of personal appraisal. What does it mean to appraise? To vet your level of progress, to benchmark, to check yourself against the reference that you have placed. Are we together? Hallelujah. So we'll look at this checklist. The Lord gave me the mandate, and is part of the apostolic mandate, to help believers experience the reality of the life of the Spirit, the divine life, and then the reality of the kingdom life, to help believers to bring to our understanding the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His ways, and how to engage the laws of the kingdom such that we produce a people who are victorious and produce a people who have dominion. And if you want to understand what we stand for and the core of what this ministry represents, I refer you to our message, This is the Message. This is the Message. It's a capture, a very comprehensive description of the mandate that God has called us as far as our contribution to the body of Christ and to the advancement of His kingdom is concerned. And in my journey walking with God, I have had many encounters by the mercies of God. I've had the honor and the privilege of having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Himself. I've encountered some of the saints who have joined the cloud of witnesses. I have encountered angels. I've encountered demons. I've encountered many dimensions and many things about the realm of the Spirit, some which are not given to say or to share. But I have encountered the wisdom of God from Scripture. I've encountered the ministry of men. I have encountered the power and the favor of God. I have read books. I have sat under the wisdom of them who have obtained the promise. And I've learned a few things beyond my personal encounter with God through the power of mentorship, learning from veterans of the gospel, learning from fathers of faith, learning from successful people, learning from failures, learning from my successes and my failures altogether. And it's brought me to a place today where I can say with all humility, even though we do not know everything, we know and we see in parts, but I can tell you that there are a few things that we have learned, we have seen, we have heard, and our hands have handled, even of the word of life. These are the bodies of knowledge that can produce dominion and victory out of any believer. They are called the mysteries or the principles of the kingdom. Generally speaking, your dominion in this kingdom is based on knowledge. And I've taught you that knowledge is at three levels. Let me remind you again. The highest level of knowledge is the knowledge of God. John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Hallelujah. The highest level of knowledge that any man can press into is the knowledge of God Himself. And as mighty as God is, as mysterious as God is, He wants to be known. He seeks to be known. Hallelujah. Listen to my message, the knowledge of the holy. There, I'm going to be recommending for every one of these mysteries. Hopefully, I'll just recommend the messages connected to them. Almost all of these mysteries, except maybe for one or two, there are major messages that have come from this altar, or at least across the various altars I've had the opportunity to preach at. And altogether, they are available to build believers. So the knowledge of God, the highest level of knowledge. Number two, the knowledge of the mysteries or the principles of the kingdom. And then number three, knowledge in your area of expertise or your field of endeavor. You can call it academic knowledge or secular knowledge. So you see that if all you have in this life is academic knowledge, it's just 1/3 and the lowest one of the three. It starts with your knowledge of your cosmos, your knowledge of science, technology, arts. Then you must learn the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. And then the highest level of knowledge that controls dominion is the knowledge of God. If you know God, you will not fail. If you know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom, you will not fail. And then if you have skill and expertise in your area of endeavor, you will not fail. Better if you have all three dimensions, then you know that you are truly a winner indeed. May that be your testimony. Shout a believing amen. Amen. So we'll consider the mysteries of the kingdom. Be ready to write and then listen. I will not be doing a comprehensive teaching. Most of these things are reminders. It's a checklist. You will test by yourself your level of growth. You will test by yourself your level of spiritual intelligence. And with all due respect, let me recommend for a man of God, a minister, the list I'm going to be running down for you right now. You literally can hold it and create your syllables for teaching, for empowering believers. It is impossible for any congregation to sit under this body of knowledge and be failures. It will only be a matter of time before their victory manifests. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. Right, so let's go very quickly. Number one, the first mystery of the kingdom. Let the word mystery not scare you. It just means principles, ordinances. The first mystery of the kingdom for your appraisal is the value and the supremacy of the word of God. The value and the supremacy of the word of God. You will never walk in dominion and victory if you do not understand the value and the supremacy of the word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. John 1:3, all things were made by him, the word, and without him was not anything which was made. To the degree to which you place value on the word of God as final authority over your life and in all matters, that is the degree to which you will see the reality of his glory manifest in your life. By the way, let me go ahead of myself to say this. Please look up. Now, the mysteries of the kingdom are likened to treasures. You find Jesus giving an example of treasures, the lost coin, silver, whatever it is. And every one of these treasures have weight of glory. Someone say weight. Weight. Like you measure something, weight. Every one of these mysteries have weight of glory connected to them. Are we together? They do not have the same place and the same level of glory in the spirit. The mysteries differ and they carry with them several weights of glory. So the Bible says our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The glory of God rests upon a man in weights, and it is predicated upon the mysteries of the kingdom that you understand. So here's how it is. Almost, just imagine with me, say a coin, a silver or a gold coin that is added to your treasury for every time you comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom. When you find certain believers, they are heavier and weightier because of the mysteries of the kingdom they have found. Are we together? When you find others, you do not see the glory of God revealed or manifested through their lives. And it's not because of any bias or any prejudice, is that they have failed to understand and to comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom that has the weight of glory connected to them. So I just needed to say that for every one of these secrets, these principles, there is a dimension of glory connected to it. And you can test immediately what dimension of glory is missing in your life by the mystery you have omitted or you have not understood properly. So number one, the value and the supremacy of the word of God. To the degree to which you respect the word of God, not only believe it, respect the word of God and vow to submit to the word of God as final authority, meaning it doesn't matter what opinion comes from where, God's word concerning every matter of my life is final. The one who chooses to live that way will inevitably walk in dominion. Number two, the power of prayer. This is the second mystery that is responsible for producing champions in the kingdom. The power of prayer. Luke 18:1. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Imagine with me a believer who got genuinely born again, genuinely saved, but was never exposed to understand the power and the dimensions of prayer. That person without any attack is already a weak and defeated believer. I can tell you that for free. That individual may never be able to grow, may never be able to command possibilities in his or her life. He spake a parable that men ought always to pray. I've taught you several things about prayer. I don't want to go back into it. But like I told us, our family in Zaria and our family this morning connecting online, the greatest ministry of prayer I know of is the transformative ministry of prayer. The transformative dimension of prayer. Many times when we pray, our minds always think answers, solutions. And while that is good, if all you are conscious of in the place of prayer are answers and solutions, you will never become a mighty man through prayer. A major part of prayer is for your growth and your transformation. Prayer was designed primarily to change you, not just to give you answers. Because many of these answers you are looking for are even needed because there is a version of you that has refused to grow. Are we together? The transforming power or the transformative power of prayer is the greatest assignment of prayer in the life of the believer. There are other assignments. It is a vehicle for obtaining requests and for making petitions. Hallelujah. Present your cause. Bring forth your strong reason. Mark 11:24. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest it and you can have it. There are other dimensions to prayer like warfare, you know, declarations and so on and so forth. And of course, there are various kinds of prayer. There's the praying in the spirit. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of inquiry. You see that now? And all kinds. I have taught you, you may want to make reference to my teaching, two teachings. Number one, the school of prayer. Number two, effective prayer dynamics. And then teach us to pray. It's a series. You will find there all of the things you need to know about prayer and fasting and intercession. Prayer and fasting. The media, maybe I should challenge you. We'll work together, hopefully, so that during the break, we will aggregate teachings that connect to these mysteries. I like believers to learn intelligently and methodically, not just to say, I'm growing. You need to be able to define and defend the extent of your growth. Are we together? Number three, the third mystery, very quickly. The power of vision, the power of purpose, and destiny. You will never amount to much in the kingdom if you do not learn, if you are not taught the power of vision, the power of purpose, and the power of destiny. Hebrews 10:7. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do your will. Hallelujah. Vision is powerful. Without vision, the people perish. Purpose is powerful. For this cause I came. For this cause I was born. The name of Jesus, the name that he was given when he walked upon the earth, was in itself a revelation. I think that's Matthew 1:21 or Luke 1:21. I can't remember. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So his very name, Matthew 1:21, is connected to his assignment. You must understand vision, purpose, and destiny. Look at me. Many believers are frustrated. Many Christians hate church. The reason is because now they are saved, now they are anointed, they fall, they rise, they shout, but it looks like there's nothing beyond the church walls. They do not seem to have any relevance beyond sermons. And so they become frustrated. That's why you find many people becoming pastors. They want to serve God. They want to deploy the grace that is placed upon their life, but they've not been taught the subject of purpose, kingdom advance, you know, destiny, fulfillment, and all of that. This is a very important subject. Two messages that I will recommend if you want to understand purpose and fulfillment. Number one, what seekest thou? What seekest thou? It's a very powerful message. What seekest thou? And then, number two, you want to look at lessons from an overcomer. They talk about destiny. They talk about fulfillment. There are a number of others, kingdom advancement, and so on and so forth. Number four, very quickly. So number one, the value and the supremacy of the word. Checklist. How much of this do you know? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say? Can you defend your understanding of the word of God? How about the power of prayer? Can you really say you know to pray? There are lots of people who say, oh, you just pray. No, you don't just pray. There's intelligence to prayer. The disciples came and asked Jesus, say, teach us to pray. You can pray amiss. That's energy without understanding. Hallelujah. Number three, the power of vision, purpose, and destiny. This is where you find meaning for your life. Number four, the power of belief systems. You will fail woefully in life, even if a Christian, if you do not understand the far-reaching effect of belief systems. Belief systems. Your belief system represents how you think. It represents your way of thinking, your way of interpretation. Hallelujah. This is very important. The Bible says, this sign shall follow them that believe. These signs, there are signs that always follow your believing. They don't follow you, they follow your believing. Failure is a sign that follows a particular kind of believing. Defeat is a sign that follows a particular kind of believing. If you want to change the sign, change the believing. You don't drive it away by saying failure, go away. No, it was mandated to follow a certain mindset. The Bible says they limited God in the wilderness. Is someone learning now? So two believers can be in the same church, in the same region, in the same country, and for the one you are experiencing victory after victory, and for the other defeat after defeat. In diagnosing their condition, you most likely will find out that one, even though he's genuinely saved, has refused to contend for a superior belief system. I told you that your belief system is your official contribution to your failing in life or your winning in life. If you fail in life, a major part of your failure came through the contribution of your belief system. If you win in life, a major part of your winning, albeit by grace, came as a contribution of your belief system. This is very powerful. Belief systems are gateways. They are doorways into your destiny. They allow for the passage of the Holy Spirit to beautify your life, and they allow for the passage of demon spirits to destroy your life. When Satan comes to attack an individual, he does not attack arbitrarily. He will study your understanding and your belief system and create an attack system from the gaps in your understanding. He says weapons are fashioned. They are fashioned after your limitations. When we come into Christ, one of the major assignments of the Holy Spirit is to transform us through the renewing of the mind, and then to supply superior word compliant belief systems. Let this mind, he said, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Jesus did not just win because he was the Son of God. He won because he sustained a thinking that was victorious. When I talk about a superior belief system, please look up. I don't just mean a Western belief system. I don't just mean a more educated belief system. You can have a more Western belief system. You can have a more technology compliant belief system, but that does not mean it is superior. The superiority of your belief system is with respect to how word compliant it is, not how Western it is. I need to balance that. Someone who lives somewhere in Europe or America versus someone who lives in the village. From an academic intellectual standpoint, that the belief system of the former is higher and greater than that of the latter. But when you swap it spiritually, the belief system, the person may be uneducated but may not be ignorant spiritually. So when we talk about sustaining superior belief system, we're not just talking of being more educated. We're not talking of just being more technological or more Western. If it falls as an advantage, that's fine. But our basis for measuring the superiority of a man's belief system is the degree of word compliancy, the degree to which your thinking and your thoughts are word compliant. If you're following so far, say amen. Amen. I can tell you this, many have failed in life because of belief systems. Let's go to number five very quickly. The fifth mystery of the kingdom that produces champions in this kingdom is living by faith. You must learn how to live by faith. No believer becomes victorious if you are not trained and taught the subject of faith. And by faith, I mean a holistic capture of the subject of faith. Like you have learned in this house, I submit to you that a major part of our teachings of faith, with all due respect, among the Pentecostal charismatic circles, it falls short of a dimension. We have done well in teaching about faith as a means of obtaining promises. And I mean, we've done phenomenally well. But there is a dimension of faith that has been neglected. And allow my bias, if you are someone who has lived in the North and has been trained in the North, and you've gone through all of the, say, attacks and all of the things that happen around the North, you will have a serious problem with the one-sided definition of faith. Because there is a dimension of faith that goes way beyond obtaining promises. This dimension of faith is about establishing testimonials of trusting God, even in the midst of unfavorable situations. This is the balance to the subject of faith. I refer you to my teachings. Number one, the school of faith. Number two, the other side of faith. In these two teachings, I bring the balance. I have the honor of being born and bred from the North, trained spiritually here in the North, and with the privilege of tapping into the wisdom and the grace that comes from our brothers and sisters down west, down south, and then extreme west, I can tell you that I have the privilege of looking from both sides, and I see where the problem is. So the teaching that faith only delivers, and your faith is only working if it delivers physical results, is very sincere but inaccurate. There is a dimension of faith that has to do with establishing a testimonial of trusting God, even when physical results don't come. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, are we learning now? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, calls it the evidence of things not seen. It says, by it the elders, what made them elders was not the promises, by it the elders obtain a good report. Not all of them obtain promises. Read your Bible. The Bible says there were women whose children were raised back to life, but there were others who died refusing to be delivered because they looked forward to a better resurrection. If your faith is all about receiving physical results, you will be a very disappointed Christian, because you will not know what to say when you lose a loved one. You will not know what to say when you lose a job. Are we together? It's the reason why if pastors are not trained this way, they don't have the sermons to preach when there's bereavement. They don't have what to say when things go bad. Because the member comes and says, Pastor, you taught me that if I trust God, he never fails. This looks like failure because the definition was inaccurate. Can I tell you this? Even if you do not obtain results, but you stood through the storm believing God, you are a man of faith. That testimonial itself is faith. And the Bible says in heaven there will be rewards for you. Who is learning now? So that understanding should not make you careless to allow the devil just attack you. But he's saying, as you seek to establish victory, even when things don't work your way, in the Bible, Stephen died because of his faith. Peter was delivered because of his faith. James died because of his faith. Jesus resurrected from the dead. And all of them are the same family. Is someone learning now? The reason why many Christians cannot stand for Christ is because of this incomplete teaching on faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith produces victory, but your victory must be defined. There are three levels of victory. There is victory as far as the manifestation of expected results are concerned, but there is victory as far as standing for truth and being rewarded in heaven is concerned. That is the reason why there will be rewards in heaven, and men will be rewarded not for giving their lives to Jesus. You will not be rewarded for giving your life to Jesus. It's a gift. You will be rewarded for your works, including martyrdom, your works. There are seven crowns that will be given to people in heaven. One of it is the victor's crown. One of it is the martyr's crown. There are people who will be honored in heaven because they stood for Jesus even when they had the opportunity to be delivered. They look forward to a better resurrection. Is someone learning now? This is how to build people seriously. So that as a man of God, on one hand, you are celebrating the arrival of a new baby. On another hand, they are calling you saying, someone just died. Man of God, what happened? You will with joy in your heart. Still a man of faith. You will go there and comfort them and show them a scripture and say you trusted God. You were praying while the health was deteriorating. Don't feel you have lost. You are victorious. That way you will raise a balanced people. Are we together now? The school of faith. And then listen to this one, the other side of faith. The power of testimonials. So that you trust the Lord through challenges, knowing that you will win at the end. But that even if he slays you, you still will live victorious. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, very quickly. Remember, tonight is an assessment. Some of you already, you've gotten zero in number what now? That's number five. If you are to be very honest, don't lie. You can't lie when we're having a final service. Some of you already, you see that this little submission has altered your perception because you have come angry at God. All of the lists that you've written, you wrote 20 things to happen this year and only two or three have happened this year. And you are already angry. You are frowning. You are saying, God, no. There's a message I have for you. Go and listen to the other side of faith. Afterwards, you will roll from left to right and thank God, even in the midst of what has not happened. Trusting God when you have not seen results, or trusting God when there is no hope of the result you have seen, is real faith. Number six. Are you ready? The sixth mystery that controls dominion in this kingdom is understanding the power of choices and decisions. Choices and decisions. Oh, listen to this. Decisions decide destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, time does not decide the quality of a man's destiny. No, the love of God does not decide the quality of a man's destiny. Your ability to make decisions and make choices is what determines the quality of your destiny. I set before you this day, blessing and cursing. I set before you this day, Deuteronomy 30:19. Blessing and cursing, life and death. I can't force you, but I can advise you. Choose life, that you and your seed, you and your children, you and your church, you and your nation, you and your family might live. Decisions decide destiny. You must understand the power of choices and decisions. Please look at me. Why is life happening to me this way? I sympathize with you. But when you sit under structured mentorship, you will take responsibility for the outcomes of your life. I'll tell you this. Nobody has the power to choose consequences. Consequences are automatic after decisions are made. The decisions are connected to consequences. The decision to love Jesus is a decision. The decision to hate Jesus is a decision. The decision to be serious spiritually is a decision that has a corresponding consequence. The decision to be lazy, irresponsible, entitled, and angry is a decision. There's a consequence connected to it. The decision to take your destiny like a bull by the horn, obtaining grace from God and driving yourself through an enviable destiny, it's a decision. Someone say, I choose to be victorious. Shout it like you're angry with failure. Say, I choose to be victorious. Say it, I choose to be victorious. The meaning of what you just said is, I choose to love God. I choose to learn and listen to his ways. I choose to take steps that lead to triumph. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't like failure. That's not a choice. No. That's just your psychology showing irritation. Me, I'm the kind of person, I like good things happening to me. That's not a choice, sir. That's a wish. I like this man's life. That's admiration. That's not a choice. A choice means you make up your mind that from this day, obtaining grace from God, I will pray. I obtain grace to pray. I obtain grace to be responsible. I obtain grace to charge the course of my destiny using the reference of the word of God. No delay, no lagging. I make up my mind that I will serve God and only him. It's a choice. Again, say, I choose to be victorious. Say it. Say, I choose to be victorious. The thing about choices and decisions is that a decision is a declaration of your desire backed up with your willingness to submit to the conditions that makes that desire come to pass. If you blindly desire without the willingness to submit to the conditions to make it happen, it is not a choice. You are only choosing when you are ready to walk in keeping with the conditions that will make your desire come to pass. Are we together? So I choose to switch on this AC, for instance. It means I desire to enjoy the cold that comes from it, but I take a step to actually, I am willing to learn if I don't know how to use it or to go and operate it myself. That's a choice. Many people are wishing, they think they are choosing, but they are only wishing. If life could be nice, if I can stay in this house, if I can do this, I know one day good things will happen. My turn is coming. Your turn will never come by wishing. I'm not cursing you. Your turn, nobody's turn comes by wishing. Someone say, I choose. Say it again. Say, I choose. Number 7. The fourth mystery of the kingdom that controls dominion and victory for any believer and to any believer is the power of value and productivity. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Hey, it's Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have something for you. Listen now. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Here comes a wishing generation. Here comes a generation that largely celebrates superstitious Christianity without rolling their gloves and putting it on the ground to forge a glorious destiny. A lazy generation that spiritualizes laziness will be beggars forever. The power of value and productivity. Value in the kingdom and productivity in the kingdom is responsible for the wealth that comes to you, responsible for the level of influence. Are we together now? You know you are valuable by how many people seek for you. What is value? A measure of your capacity to provide solutions. A measure of your capacity to solve problems. I hope God is helping us. Now, I know many people who are prayerful. I know many people who fast. I know many people who quote scripture. But they are unproductive. They just sit at home and believe that God is going to wake somebody to indefinitely bless them. It's a very sincere declaration of your understanding, but it's not an accurate one. God walked. Men should walk. There is power in diligence. Productivity means turning your value into products and services, having refined it, and then serving it with excellence. For anybody who serves value that is needed and useful, I can tell you, the grace of God upon it, you will not beg for bread. Make reference to my teaching last week, freedom from poverty, from lack, and from want. Let me turn it to a prophecy for you. As you are listening to all of these things and engaging them, you will be free from poverty, from lack, and want in the name of Jesus. We like declarations in church, and we hope that the man of God who declares will omit the responsibility part of the declaration so that we shout amen and leave the remaining work for him. But it doesn't work that way. There was prophecy that man will be saved, but Jesus came and said, I must work the works of him, not just talk the talks of him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. It says, my Father walk, hitherto I walk. And with all due respect, I've had a lot of people say, you know, the work of the believer is just confession. No, sir. You can confess, but your hands must walk. He becometh poor that deals with a slothful or a diligent hand. Or a slothful or a lazy hand. Are we together? Press to become valuable as a man of God. Press to become valuable as an academician, as a doctor, a professional, as a businessman. When you are valuable and the grace of God comes upon your life, there's no limits to how far you can go. May that be your testimony. Number 8. If we're still together, say amen. Amen. What's your score now over 8? If you tell me 8, you are lying. Even me, I will not give myself 8. Are you ready? The only person who has 8 over 8 is Jesus. Even Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth for the things that are before me, I press. If you wrote 8 over 8 for yourself, it's a sign you really have zero, because you've not been learning anything. Hallelujah. The weight of what I'm saying should even make you careful in assessing yourself. But be confident. It is possible that you have learned this to a degree that produces victory. Let's go to number 8 quickly. The power of mentorship. The 8th mystery that controls dominion in this kingdom is the power of mentorship. The Bible says to be followers of them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. Is someone being enlightened now? Are you seeing that tomorrow when people see your results and they see you scaling heights in the spirit, if they say you are lucky, bring out your notebook and show them how lucky you are. Lock number 1, the word of God. Lock number 2, the power of prayer. That's how lucky you are. We live in a world that prides in trivializing the sacrifices of people. Once they see strides and achievements in the spirit, they generally say, you are just lucky or God just showed you this. No, it's not luck at all. The power of mentorship. Who you follow defines what follows you. It is true. Who you choose to follow can define what follows you. Not just what you know, who you choose to follow. Hallelujah. Mentorship is powerful. It provides you an opportunity to learn structured knowledge. Mentorship provides the leverage of endorsement. Someone can endorse you and end 10 years of trying to build a track record by yourself. Mentorship is powerful. Mentorship helps you to gain experience while taking away the pain and the regret factor. When you submit to mentorship, you have the privilege of sometimes learning decades of information distilled to you through the pain, the blood, the sweat, the mistakes of others, minus the pain factor, minus the regret factor. Mentorship is powerful. Hallelujah. I've done a teaching on that. It's called the power of mentorship. Listen to it very carefully. Number 9. Can we continue? The 9th mystery, and this is a very serious one. Understanding times and seasons. Understanding times and seasons. Particularly divine timings. You can put it in bracket. Understanding times and seasons. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, it says. For the time, the chronos to favor her, yea, the kairos time, the set time, is come. Jesus wept because the men did not know their time of visitation. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible tells us when God created the heavens and the earth, that he created lights. These lights were to signify times, seasons, days. Are we together now? Yes. There are revelations that are connected to timings. When Jesus was born, the Magi used the light that was in the sky to identify that the king had been born. And they not only identified that he had been born, they traced down to where Jesus was. If you do not understand seasons and timings, you can have the correct prophecy and you still fail. I was telling our family this morning that there are 3 things that must align for destiny to manifest. Number 1, a correct prophecy or an accurate prophecy representing your future. Number 2, a divine strategy that is connected to that prophecy. Number 3, divine timing. You miss any of these 3, your destiny will never emerge. Times and seasons. Make reference to my teaching, The Law of Seasons. It's one of the most powerful teachings that I've brought on seasons, The Law of Seasons. Then you may want to also listen to my message, Times and Seasons. In that message, we unravel the mystery of Pharaoh's dream. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack. In every man's life, that dream must come to pass. Whether you will be a victim of that dream or not is a different ball game. But there will always be 7 years of plenty, alternating like day and night. So what you do during your 7 years of plenty is to follow the wisdom of Joseph. If you cannot follow the wisdom of Joseph, the lean cows will eat your fat cows. Is someone learning? Very important. Let me give you a little tip. For those of you who followed that teaching or have listened to that teaching, I told you that during your 7 years of plenty, there are a number of things you do. Number one, build capacity. Number two, raise others. Sow seeds of goodwill in the life of others, so that when you are out of stage, whoever is on the stage will bring you back by according you honor. If you shine alone and trample other people when you are shining, when the light moves away from you, you will go into oblivion, never to be seen again. You see this with politicians. You even see this with preachers. You see this with footballers. Whilst they rise, they forget that one day the sun will go down. And they don't raise anybody. They don't lift anybody. And you see, the deception of spotlight is that you will never believe the light will go away. You will enjoy the moment so much. You are flattered. You never believe one day darkness will come. Look at Jesus. Powerful leadership model. He came for 33 years. And while he was teaching, he was raising others. After 33 years, he left the earth. He's never had to come back physically. He will come back, but he was confident. The people he raised have immortalized his impact. No matter where you go around the world, you will hear the name Jesus. We are extensions of his leadership. I pray for you that men will not forget you while you are still alive. Did you hear what I said? That it will not be that you were once a chairman, you were once a director, and you did not raise anybody, you did not bless anybody, you did not bring smiles to the faces of people. Nobody can trace you to their growth. Nobody can trace you to their rising. And the way we do it is that after people now become, you now come in entitled, wanting a stake in their lives. Let me use the opportunity and encourage parents. Don't insult your children while they rise. You have experience, but you may not have time to correct it. They may not have experience, but they have time to learn from an elderly person and correct it. Anybody whose life you did not contribute in is rising. You don't have a stake when they are having their last supper or their supper. Don't appear from somewhere and just want to be treated the same way. Is someone learning now? We have very funny people, with all due respect, some relatives, some friends. They never contribute in the rising of others. They suspect they will fall. They suspect they will fail. They suspect they will die. So they stand from a distance. They don't totally leave you, but they are not proud of you. They watch to see. Just when you rise, they say, I knew it, you will rise. Sir, there is no space for you on that table. The space is for those who could help you carry the cross, not those who come when you resurrect. The law of seasons. This already makes you wiser, so that when you rise, you don't allow those who are clapping at the gates of the palace. The people who were there at the cave of Adullam are more reliable. They saw you with nothing and they believe you. The one who sees you with a crown on your head and claps for you, that clap is not real. Most likely not real. The law of seasons will help you to prune relationships, to know the people who are worth your time, and then to not drive away good people in your life because you have met others who are sycophants. Who is learning? Imagine how wise you become when you listen to the message. Listen to it. The law of seasons. Some of you are about to make a careless mistake that will destroy your life. Some of you right now, you are shining. It's your season. Preachers, footballers, sportsmen, politicians. Be careful. This sun has risen and has gone down for many lives. Hallelujah. At the end of my life, I don't just want it to be said that I ministered the word of God, I blessed people, but let it be that I raised others and gave them an opportunity for their destinies to emerge. Lessons from an overcomer. You may want to add that message too. Lessons from an overcomer. It's a powerful overcomer. Overcomer lectures. If you want to be great, listen to it. The law of seasons. Let me give you number 10. Someone is learning. What's your score so far? What did you get in this? Now, you see that the mysteries don't have the same value. You can know 1 to 7 or 1 to 8, But not knowing seasons alone can take you back. They are like courses in the university. Some are 6 credit units, 3 credit units, 1 credit unit. You can have 4 1-1 credit units and then fail 1 8-credit unit, you will go back. You know what it does to your CGPA? That's how it is in life too. I'm praying for you that now that the sun has arisen over you, you will know what to do when the spotlight is on you. Please go and listen to that message. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Very quickly, let's go to mystery number 10. Can I continue? You must learn how to manage crisis and challenges. Learning how to manage crisis and challenges holds a major key in helping you not just manifest dominion, but retain dominion and victory. John chapter 16 and verse 33, for instance, managing crisis and managing challenges. These things I have spoken to you that ye might have peace. In this world, you will have many tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My goodness. Managing crisis and challenges. You don't know this as a man of God, you'll be in trouble. You don't know this as a matured believer, you'll be in trouble. While it is never a desire for your marriage to have a problem, while it is never a desire for your children to have a problem, while it is never a desire for you to have a problem with your boss, while it is never a desire for things to fall apart, unfortunately, because we live in a world whose variables sometimes go beyond you. You can drive well, but another person can hit your car because he's careless. The most important thing is that your car has been hit. You must learn how to fix it. Are we together? Listen to me. Having emotional intelligence and knowing how to manage crisis, how to manage conflict, there are families that have been torn apart today because it's made up of 2 Christians who do not have the intelligence to manage crisis. A CEO not knowing how to manage crisis. A nation not knowing how to manage crisis. Nations have gone to war today because they have intelligent people, but some of them are either too proud or too ignorant to approach the modus operandi of conflict management, conflict resolution, and peace. Jesus called himself the Prince of Peace. And if you belong to that tribe and that family, it's important that in all your learning, because let me tell you something, dominion and influence and victory comes with a lot of controversy. If you don't know it, save Johnny. Lord, grant me influence. Lift me. I want to be a leader in ministry, in business. You better understand what you are asking for. There are times that you say, I'm sorry, even when you are right. You don't say, I'm sorry because you are foolish. You say, I'm sorry because you are the wiser one. Are we together now? I'm sorry will save you headaches of explanation. Apostle, if I say I'm sorry, will I not be? People will take you for granted. You are right. They will. But don't forget, as you'll be learning in one of the mysteries, I'm sorry is a seed. There is a harvest coming. Pride is also a seed. There is a harvest coming. Don't let somebody's annoyance make you change the seeds you are sowing on your own farm. You will reap what you sow, not what somebody wants you to sow. Hallelujah. Managing crisis. This is particularly important for leaders. Managing situations of death. If you have a great ministry like this, you will find people, your people will be in police stations. You will have to manage a lot of things. You have politicians, business people, family conflicts, all kinds of things. And if you do not learn the principles of conflict resolution, crisis management, you will be in trouble. I remember many years ago in Zaria when there was one of the post-election violence, you know, the people, there were all kinds of things that happened after election and so on and so forth. And being in that position, you must develop the strategies to be able to protect the people, to encourage them so they are not discouraged. Is someone learning? Let's go to number 11. What is the 11th mystery if you must walk in dominion and victory? You must understand God's financial system. God's financial system. God's financial system. Let me give you many messages that you can put together. Start with the latest. I preached it last week. Freedom, from poverty, lack, and abundance, the power to get wealth, part 1 and 2, seasons of abundance, freedom from financial affliction. These are all teachings that center around a responsible approach to understanding how wealth works in the kingdom and for the believer. You need to understand God's financial system. The church today is in a lot of confusion, even though God is helping us, as far as what is the appropriate pathway a believer can follow responsibly, void of manipulation, that can lead a believer to a life of economic emancipation. That's what led to the latest teaching. If you listen to just one teaching, please let it be last week's teaching. Again, freedom from poverty, freedom from lack, and freedom from want. We have largely two sets of error in the body of Christ when it has to do with the subject of finance. We have those who approach finance purely from a standpoint of the spiritual laws, tithing, giving, seeds, and all of that, and they just believe once you give and then you speak, you will be prosper. No, that's incomplete. It is correct, but it's incomplete. Then we have the business world that says, forget this nonsense, they are just money mongers. Here's how to do it. Work hard, be diligent, be productive. Whether you love God or not, just be diligent. It will work for you. Eventually, you find out there is a problem here. Number one, is only when you are alive that you can be rich. Number two, demons don't care how obedient you are to principles. They care about the relationship that gives you stability. You can have your boat, you can have your skill, you can be at the sea, you can have your net, but because a spirit manipulates the sea, you will not catch fish. So that combination, honoring the spiritual laws and honoring the business laws together, will produce a more victorious Christian. And then, of course, helping your mindset to understand that a man's value does not just consist on the things that he has. Because it's another thing again that has brought trouble to the church. Our idea of prosperity or increase needs to be adjusted. Let me not bore you again. I appreciate it. Please go back and listen. Even if you've listened again, I've listened to it 4 times. Freedom from poverty, lack, and want. God bless you. Let's go to the next. When I give you number 12, then we'll pray in the spirit and we'll continue. Who is ready for number 12? The 12th mystery. Ready? Principles of warfare. Apostle, I don't believe in warfare. I will be here to help you when trouble comes. I promise you my presence, and I promise you my love. Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. If you turn aside in the day of adversity, there is a day called the day of adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, warfare is real. Warfare is not only real because there are demons. No. Warfare is real because the realities that have been finished are only finished in Christ. It will take engaging by faith through the weapons of victory, the name, the blood, the word, to establish the victory in your life and your environment that has been finished in Christ. Else you will be disappointed. Now, there are two main mentalities that govern the subject of warfare. One is, with all due respect, inaccurate, whereas the other is the kingdom approach. Warfare for many people, and please listen. Warfare for many people is trying to fight Satan, trying to fight demons, and watching if eventually you will win through the energy of your prayer, if eventually you will win through the seeds you are sowing, if eventually you will win. Once you have that mentality, you are already defeated. The mentality of trying to fight to see if you will win is not an accurate mentality. When we fight warfare, the idea fight there does not mean physically. The idea fight means to establish. The labor in the spirit that goes into establishing the victory that has been finished in Christ. Is someone learning now? So by the time you are engaging in warfare, you go there with the mentality of one who has received as an inheritance the victory that Christ has purchased, but you have a responsibility to engage the weapons of victory and establish it to make it good in your life. Who is learning now? I give you a check of $10,000 and I say go to the bank and cash it. If you go to the bank to cash it, are you adding more value to the check? No, you are simply turning that check into cash so you can use it. As a check, it may not be easy for you to use it for transaction because it is not in your name, but it is. Are we together now? The name that was written to receive the check is you, but the check itself is not in your name. So there is a conflict. There are two names there. And the cashier or the banker has been trained to convert the check. He looks at it and says, okay, so, 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 and so. Sometimes they may need to call the owner of the check, not the owner of the name, to verify. This kind of expensive check you gave, is it true? He said, oh yes, what's his name? There are all kinds of signs between the owner of the check and the cashier. Sometimes it's the color of the pen. Sometimes it's the kind of pen. Sometimes inscriptions, depending on how wealthy the person is. Yours is to go to the bank. You can have the check and keep it there. Look up, please. How many of you know that if your child is playing around and holds that check and tears it because he's excited, the child is playing, but you know what that has meant for you? So why will you cry over a piece of paper? You are not crying over a piece of paper. You are crying over the potential to pay your bills. This is how salvation is. So he's purchased it for us and he's giving it to us. But there is a stubborn spirit who will not allow you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, not your friend, not your counselor, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, he goes about seeking for whom he will devour. The probability of him coming around the vicinity of your destiny is 100%. He will meet you one day. Is someone learning now? The Bible says, resist the devil. This is Paul or Peter speaking. These were apostles who were mentored by Jesus. Not even Jesus was spared of the attacks of Satan. Before his ministry would start, Satan came to him. Warfare is about establishing experientially in your life the victory that has been purchased for you in Christ. That shift in mentality. So when I'm praying, when I'm giving, when I'm engaging the word, when I'm taking authority over demon spirits, I am not adding to what Christ has done. In fact, it is because of what he has done that I have the credence, are we together, to be able to establish that. You want to understand warfare? Look at what happened between Ezekiel and the Holy Spirit. The words that Ezekiel spoke were not his words. It was given to him by the Holy Ghost. Yet the bones did not respect what the Holy Spirit said. They respected what Ezekiel spoke. The Holy Ghost told him what to say. Say to the bones this and that. And he repeated it. The bones never seemed to respect what they heard. They respected what the man said. So if Christ says you are free, Satan does not take that seriously. He will test to see if you know. If you now say, indeed, by the blood I am free. Now that's warfare. Who is learning? That is the reason why certain approaches to warfare never leads to victory. It's an endless battle with no victory in view. And I don't mean to be sarcastic. We live in a world with real spirits and real demons. And sometimes, before you criticize people, please tolerate the bias of their background. The kind of spirits, a man, for instance, who has a spirit killing his father, his mother, his siblings, any definition of warfare is acceptable. The memory of that pain is too deep for you to come and speak English. Are we together? Oh no, you can hold a cup of coffee and just say, Satan, get lost, and he will go. That is you. Your father is still alive. Your mother is still alive. You have a job with NMPC. They promise you something. There are two houses waiting for you. Your children are on scholarship. That definition may work fine for you. But for somebody who was supposed to be the next priest, in his presence, He saw people running mad because they refused priesthood. Are we together? Until he got born again, every night, as soon as he rests his head, he's somewhere. He can't explain it. He got married and a spirit appeared to him and said, "You finally married. Now you have two wives. Know what to do with me." And then you come and tell the virgin, "No, no, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir." So in managing this, we stand with the truth. But please respect the pain of others so that you don't go around just allow those who believe in aggressively pushing welfare. Warfare. Don't fight people because there are certain heights, ba. If you have not gotten to, you will not know how to pray some prayers until something happens to you by yourself. You will go online and learn how to pray some prayers. You will be watching videos of people who have prayed warfare prayers successfully. Enter. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. My goodness. There are real demons, though. And if God opens your eyes to encounter some of these wicked spirits and what they have done. I will never forget praying for a woman. This is a true story. Many years ago, she used to have encounters with monkeys in her dreams and in the spirit. True story. If I'm joking, I'll tell you I'm joking. This woman got pregnant and she kept seeing these monkeys come to molest her. Did you know she had a stillbirth at the maybe 8th or 9th month? And when I saw the picture of the baby, honestly, I'm not exaggerating. I have never seen a hairy baby like that. A baby hairy, even more than an adult, stillbirth. It was from the spirit. I've seen people pregnant beyond 12 months, 13 months. You would see their stomach, but they go and the machine shows that the stomach is flat and healthy. Realm of the spirit. I've seen people have physical monies missing. You keep a bundle of money, you are alone in the room. You go to ease yourself and you just hear like a wind blow. You go back and you see the rope alone there. No, I'm not joking. I have met real spirits in my life. Not visions. Real spirits. I tell you this. I know someone I prayed for. I think I've told you the story. He was slapped from the realm of the spirit. From the realm of the spirit, he became deaf physically. Nothing, no kind of treatment. Come on. You've seen miracles in Koinonia here. Someone whose legs will be rotting. It doesn't matter what kind of treatment. There's a spirit behind it. You pray for the person a few months and it will dry up like that. Let me tell you this. I don't mean to scare you. And I don't mean to magnify Satan. But if you do not know how to engage the forces of the blood, the forces of the word, the forces of covenants, the forces of the name of sacrifice, you will have a hard time. Satan does not attack every time. He knows there are kairos moments in your life. He will wait just when God wants to announce you. Then he will come in a way that is serious. But I pray for you, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, as you have found the keys to effective warfare and intercession, you will continue to establish the victory that's been wrought for you in Christ. And in the name of Jesus, your back will never go to the ground. Amen. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Dominion checklist. We're checking our understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. Please go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Because you are rising. You can literally check what is not working in your life. And you can connect. What mystery are you missing? Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Pray in the spirit 1 minute. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Back then when we were in Zaria, I counseled a very young, wonderful, beautiful lady and her mother. This lady had a very serious problem with relationships. If you came near this lady and say, I like you, be ready for trouble. You will lose a job, you will die, somebody will run mad. Something bad will happen. And eventually, as I got to talk to them, I got to find out, and the mother sincerely admitted it, in desperation for a child, based on what they knew, not because she was a bad person, in desperation for a child, someone took her somewhere. Many years, then about 20 or 21 years ago. And they met somebody, of course, out of desperation, and the person said, I can give you a child, herbalist, of course, a spiritualist, but I'll conjure some things, give you some to take, give you some to rob, you know, give your husband some, but that when the girl gets to 20 years exactly, they must bring her back to that place. And she looked at the man was an old man. Watch this. He said, but if this happens, by the time she's 20, you would have died. Please let me your attention. Do you know what the man said? He pointed at one young boy who was there and said, this boy would have replaced me. He said, still come to him. I tell you the truth and I lie not. When she got to maybe 18, 19, gentlemen began to come and there was a pattern. As soon as they meet the lady, okay, I want to go and see your parents or I like you, something mysterious. Either someone will have an accident, pain, and people started noting her. And you know, church people will advise people, when someone says, what do you think? This lady say, better mind yourself. You that does not understand warfare, go back and look for somebody whose maybe grandfather was a missionary, where there's already a leverage of covenants. You know, and the lady got so heartbroken. That's the point. And that's what, you know, women now, may you meet the right advisor, so. And I'm not being mad at them. It's a story I'm telling you, a true one. And so some women advised the woman. And they said, you know what? Look, so that your daughter does not die for nothing, just go. You have nothing to lose. You still know the place. Just go back and go and see. At least go back there and tell the man you are not interested in whatever again. But the lady said, no. I attend Koinonia. I've learned. I've been mentored. I cannot suffer the consequence of this thing. How I came is none of my business. Now that I'm here, I will walk in victory. You know, so the mother brought her, and I looked at the lady, and I looked at the mother. I said, now, there's no denying the fact that there is something, there's an agreement somewhere. But now that's where the blood comes. That's where warfare comes. Are we together? And I told the lady, I said, young lady, there is power through the blood to not only set you free, but to set everybody free who comes from you. Now, don't be angry at Mama. She did what she knew to do based on the level of knowledge she had. But now that you are in Christ, come on, Satan. And we prayed. I can tell you this. I've not seen her for a long time. The church is gone. Maybe she's even long married now. I'm saying that to tell someone, what happened before your arrival, or what happened during your arrival, once you are in Christ and you understand how to appropriate the word of God, I tell you, I've had all kinds of stories. This is Africa. There are regions they say women don't marry. There are regions they say men don't marry. There are regions they say this and that happens. And until you understand warfare, those things stand true. Because until you superimpose a covenant with another, the one that is there will keep speaking. In the name of Jesus, I'm looking at people who will bring an end to a pattern and begin a new order over their families. I say it again, I'm speaking to people who will bring an end the old pattern, the old order, in the name of Jesus. In Africa and in Nigeria today, there are people who cannot go home because of how demonic their regions are. And I'm not saying that, you know, in a sarcastic way. There are just individuals who have made up their mind. I know of regions where the old people don't die. When the man is about to die, you hear that a young boy has died. Then the man gets back and is strong. They use the children to renew their life. Come on now, minus me. Anybody that takes my name to any herbalist, plus him and the shrine and the herbalist, they will know what it means to be born of God. They will know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, I reject fear. Say, I have dominion. I'm a child of God. Say, the blood speaks for me. Say it again. Say, the blood speaks for me. Hallelujah. I will never forget a woman who called me, just got married 3 or 4 days, true story. And she calls me screaming. And she said, as soon as she became a teenager, you know what that means? As soon as she became a teenager, there was this being that would always appear to her wearing red. And according to the being, he said he was covenanted. He married according to her grandmother, her mother, and now is her time. This lady prayed and fasted, nothing happened. Prayed and fasted, nothing happened. Prayed and fasted, nothing happened. Until she listened to the mystery of deliverance. When she listened to it, and she found certain keys, no matter how defeated Satan is, if your mentality gives him victory, he will return. Did you hear what I said? No matter how truly defeated Satan is, if he's not defeated in your mind and you still believe he has the power to bring you down, I'll tell you this. The major power Satan has today is not a distinct power. It's power derived from his partnership with men. Listen to me. For as long as there is one person who was created as the zenith of God's creation, who can agree with Satan, he will look powerful. The real power of Satan, are you getting me now? Is the power that comes through his partnership with men. Well, as for me, I have already made a proclamation to the Spirit. It ends with me. Poverty found. Ends with me. Are we together? Childlessness. Don't be ashamed. I've taught you. Fight your battles with honor. But tell yourself it ends with me. People rising and falling. Men in families living like slaves. You find a family of 10 people. Only one small lady or one young guy will now rise and be doing a job of 40,000. And he wants to feed 14 families. Come on now. I'm doing a summary, but this thing has touched me. Let me declare in the name of Jesus that anybody under the sound of my voice who has been tied down by ordinances and covenants, in the name of Jesus and at this end of year service, I declare your liberty now. I declare your liberty now. Your liberty now. Please sit down. You want to walk in dominion. Please, you need to understand warfare. Listen to my message, the mystery of deliverance, part 1 to 4. And there are a number of other messages along that line. The affliction of the righteous and a few other teachings that help you to understand warfare. Number 13, let's hurry up. Are you ready for the 13th mystery? The 13th kingdom principle that is responsible for victory. The power of praise and thanksgiving. The man who knows how to tap into the power of praise and the power of thanksgiving is the one who knows how to hold his victory flag, and it will never go down forever. When our precious people were singing Hosanna, I saw some of our people holding those flags. That's what praise does. It keeps your flag of victory above so that you never go down in shame. Is someone hearing? I will call upon the Lord, listen to me, who is worthy of praise. It says, so by praising shall I be saved from my enemies. Let the high praise of God be upon their lips and a two-edged sword in their hands to bind, to execute vengeance upon their kings, to bind their nobles with fetters of iron, and so on and so forth. There are many dimensions to praise. There is the thanksgiving dimension of praise, but there is the warfare dimension of praise. Is someone learning? You must understand the power of praise. One time, I think it was our father in the Lord, Bishop Oyedepo, who was asked by one of the fathers in the West. He said, you claim we taught you faith, and now God has increased you so much, some of us are not even experiencing your results. And he said, how did that happen? And he said, I danced everyone you see coming into this church. Praise. Praise. How does the Bible put it? Though the fig tree will not blossom, nor olive be on the vine, though the labor of the olive will fail and all of that, he said, yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He will set my feet like hinds' feet and cause me to walk upon my high places. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. If you understand the power of praise, you will frustrate worry. If you understand the power of praise, you will frustrate all kinds of troubles whatsoever. Praise. Praise. And thanksgiving. A man of God said, your thanksgiving is your application for more. More of God's kindness. More of God's benevolence. Every time you give thanks, your thanksgiving is your report card. It's your official display of appreciation. Lord, what you sent yesterday finally arrived. And you are ready for more. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. Say it like you are serious. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now, let me tell you this. Those who are still babies in the spirit are the ones who always say, I'm like this. I can't lie that something is paining me. I should keep quiet and be smiling. Me, I wouldn't do that one. The way we are in our family, when we are smiling, we are really smiling. You see, no problem. You are growing. But you get to a realm of maturity where Satan never truly knows your state, because joy is always your temple. The cry is in the secret place. It's between you and God. But as far as you and men and your world is concerned, how is everything? Glory be to God. I hear that you lost your mother. It is painful. I can't explain it, but I know glory be to God. What is it about your life that is always glory be to God? I hear that the job that you got, we're even celebrating, and I hear the company is packed up. It's painful, but I know God will provide. His wisdom is still at work. That's how believers speak. Never allow yourself to be an instrument of sympathy. Did you hear what I said? Never. Now, I'm not saying to not open yourself for comfort, but don't be the person everybody says, hey, yeah, you mean it? Why are you like this? Hey, talk. And some of you really like it. You like attracting sympathy. Have you heard what happened to me? You have been acting as if you've not heard. Sit down, let me tell you. This year, it was not nice for me in Nigeria. And the person you are talking about just lost three of his elder ones and is still smiling. So what is causing you pain? Can I tell you what is causing me the most pain? You are talking to the person now. I could not pay my rent. That's your cause of pain. Whereas the person you are asking to comfort you lost three siblings in 1 month and is still dancing and rejoicing. Next year, Satan will not see your tears. Your tears will only be for the throne room. Your tears will only be for the secret place. Is someone learning? Say, I will rejoice. Say, I will give thanks. Say, I will praise him. Yabo. Yabo. Kai kadai ka isa yabo. 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 Kai kadai ka isa yabo. 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 Kai kadai ka isa yabo. 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 Kai kadai ka. praise. Whether it works well, praise him. Whether it does not work well, praise him. Is someone learning now? Apostle, I expected a job to come for me throughout this year. As it stands right now, I'm owing. My landlord has said if he's alive, I will not spend Christmas in that house. Don't worry. Leave your landlord. He established it for business, so don't get angry with him. Go to God who is Abba, Pater. Don't just go and cry and say, God, are you going to wash me like this? Get the song Hosanna. Lock your door and place the rent notice on the ground. And dance and rejoice like David did. And say, Father, I'm rejoicing over you. And as you rejoice, his jealousy will arise. And say, how can I let my daughter dance like this and be driven out of the house? Huh? Joshua Selman, please, what can we do for this lady? I hope he will call you too. As I called my name, you were happy. Some of you are happy because you don't give. Praise God. May he call your name. Especially that this year was good for you financially. May he call your name. Praise. Look, the world is full of angry people. Don't join them. Have you seen how angry people are becoming? You pass and see people wrinkling their face. They are angry with themselves. They are angry with others. They are angry with God. They are angry with Satan. They are angry with government. They are angry with good people. They are angry with angels. They are angry with demons. They are angry with every other thing. They are just boiling, waiting for someone to touch them. Just leave them peacefully and give God thanks. Apostle, my own problem is there's no rice for Christmas. Give God thanks. Only people who are alive eat rice. Give him thanks. I made a covenant with my life that I will never find myself grumbling and complaining, not in his presence. I will take my pain to him sincerely, but I lift up my voice and say, thank you. Thank you. Someone again say, thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Say, thank you, Jesus. We're almost there. You see how lucky you are when you walk in dominion? Next time someone says, this is your thing, doors are just opening, you are lucky. Tell the person, borrow me 5 minutes of your time. And then you open your book and say, just read this and we'll talk afterwards. These are the mysteries of the kingdom. 14, let's go. What is the 14th mystery? Ready? The power of strategic relationships. This one is a 6-credit unit course. The power of strategic relationships. Did you hear what I said? 6-credit unit. Get F and you may stay back for a long time. The power of strategic relationships. He that walks with the wise shall be wise himself, sir. But the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You are as powerful as those who believe in you and are willing to invest their time, their energy, and their resource to see to it that your destiny manifests. Please listen to me and listen. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Many of us are godly, but we are not relational. We are very godly. You love God. You are holy. You are righteous, consecrated, but you are not relational. And this world keeps biting you like a scourging sun. Because there's nobody around your life to be instructed by God to help you. Prophecy comes, but your lack of understanding relationships keep driving good people from your life. I've taught you that relationships are bridges. Let me remind you again. From where you are to the place of failure is a bridge called a relationship. From where you are to the place of victory is a bridge called relationship. You can choose it. If you fail, you follow the bridge called a relationship. If you succeed, you follow a bridge called a relationship. Relationships are currencies, I have learned. They can buy what money can buy. But where money stops, they can buy what money cannot buy. You are as fortunate as those who love you and believe in you and are willing to invest their time, their energy, their resources in promoting you. You must learn to be relational. Hallelujah. Listen to my message on relationships. There are a number of them. Some of us, the only kind of relationship we know and are interested in is love relationship. You will suffer in this life because you are going to marry only one person, but you need plenty people to help you. Did you hear what I'm saying? Once it is not love, you are not learning anything. Please learn the laws of relationship, sir. Learn the laws of relationship. There are many people who would have been in prison today, but relationships stopped them. There are many people who would have failed today, but relationships stop them. Can I tell you, relationships can be a padlock. They can close a door that only God opens. Relationships can be a key. They can a master key, in fact. One of the easiest ways to succeed in life is through relationships. You can earn a living being cautious. You can earn a living being polite. You can earn a living. Are we together? Once you are aggressive, hateful, arrogant, vulgar, inconsiderate, you most likely will not have people around your life. So for some of you, God is speaking to you. This year was a rough year, not because prophecy failed, but the people you should connect to that allow for the manifestation of prophecy, you didn't have that spiritual acumen. I hope that we'll try again next year, and this time around may it work for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Relationships are powerful. I am a product of relationships. Many possibilities in my life have been activated on account of relationships. I tell you this, I'm a busy person, but there are people who, if they call on me, if it is within my power, I will answer. They are too relevant in my life to ignore them. They have invested time, they have invested energy, they have invested passion. They call 1,000 times. If I have the strength, I will answer 1,000 times. I'll tell you this. Relationship is a harvest. It is fraud to want a harvest whose seeds you have not sown. Is someone learning now? Invest in relationships. Not with a parasitic mentality. Be sincere. Love people genuinely. Relationships demand that you become a mutual contributor, not just a recipient. A mutual contributor. Don't just receive, but make sure you give. And I have taught you, when you are relating with people who you cannot bring value to the table, bring gratitude and bring honor. If you cannot provide value for them, either because they've gone far ahead of you, bring gratitude, water that relationship with gratitude and water it with honor. I cannot tell you the testimonies that have arisen from the lives of people when practicing the law of honor or the law of relationships. Body of Christ, listen to me. More than ever before, we need to be people who understand relationships. But I'll tell you something. There are relationships that when you see, you know that this is parasitism. Don't be like that. Be genuine. Are we together? Yes. There are people, once you see them, you know they are looking for something. If they say, "Good afternoon, sir," just say, "What do you want?" And truly they'll say, "Oh, thank God, you have gone ahead. Please, can you help me with a ladder? I want to remove something." You say, "I knew it." Be very genuine. Be very genuine. Be very genuine. Love people sincerely. Not because you are scratching their back so that they will scratch your back tomorrow. When you become a businessman with relationships, it doesn't add too much. There are people, you will never see them invest genuine energy and passion until there's something they are looking for. And when people note you to be like that, every time they see you, even though what you are doing is sincere, they say, "Forget this lady, forget this person." They are opportunists. That's what they call them. Back in secondary school, we used to call them friend for food. Once food arrives, like flies, they are welcome. They say, I mean, do you have the energy to eat? Do you have a spoon? Just say, "Join me and eat," and go. Because that's why they really came. I pray for you. May you be authentic. May you be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Shout a believing amen. We're almost there. Are you ready for number 15? The 15th mystery. Tonight we are doing dominion checklist. The mystery of kingdom service. This is the 15th mystery that connects to the rising and the dominion of people. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy, gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy, gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy. Someone, these mysteries will position you to really have a Merry Christmas. The song just came to my spirit. I'm just imagining how doors will be opening for you. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy, gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy, gladness and joy. Oh, tidings of gladness and joy. Let me tell you this. I'll tell you a secret. The greatest way to sow a seed for a glorious relationship is find people in pain when they are at their lowest. Invite yourself and be there for them. I show you how to secure a spot in their future. When you find someone crying, let your handkerchief be part of that which cleans their face. They will never forget you, no matter how wicked they are. And if they do, God will remind them that good people are not available everywhere. Never find people downcast and in pain and waste the opportunity of sowing into their life. The man who can wipe someone's tears today can get a house tomorrow for wiping their tears with a 100 naira handkerchief. Don't worry, my sister. Who are you? You don't need to know me. I'm just here to encourage you genuinely. I know that things are not working well around your life. You lost your mother. I'm told that your brother just died. I don't have all the money, but can we say a prayer? There is a man I know. I don't want to mention his name. I have seen God honor that man because of relationships. His network is large and strong. He's literally like a telecommunication tower. Many people route their possibilities through his life. There's no help that man can provide that man cannot access. From the judiciary to almost, he's behind the rising of many people, politicians, judges. You converse with him 10 minutes, you find his phone beeping, ringing. Governors, presidents, everybody is looking for help. How can you fail when you are a network? Are we together now? Don't wait for people to rise before you know them. It's harder that way. Find people who are rising and help them rise. It is cheaper. You can help the woman with 50,000 for her child to rise. After 15 years, you will find out that child is now appointed as commissioner of justice. Then someone wants to take your property. It doesn't matter whether they are right or wrong. There's an investment that has been done. Sorry for that person. Life is not fair by default. You make it fair by engaging the mysteries of the kingdom. Are we together? There are people today, whether they are dead or alive, I assure you, their children will never cry. They have invested in the rising of too many people. One person will get up and say, you know what? I will take care of these children until Jesus comes. Relationships. Some of your little environment, the village there, I know you will buy hamper for wealthy people and billionaires. They may not even see it. The secretary will take it and say, oh, God will not see it and just enjoy it there. But you can find some of those people. They may not have anything to give you, but you can sow into their lives. After 10, 20 years, somebody will hold you one day at the airport and say, Mommy, can you remember my face? You say, no, my son, I can't remember your face. You say, it was because of you I wrote WAEC. Today, just to let you know, I'm a professor. Even if your child gets 2 in JAMB or anybody gets two over 400, bring them. I will give them admission. Then you hear some foolish people say, oh, you know, it's injustice. Look, I don't teach that people should be biased, but this is the world of men. A man's kindness can add to your limitations. Don't create the memory of causing pain for people. Men have brains like elephants. After 20 years, when they see you, now they are sitting presiding over a board, and you would have been the next MD. But they remember how wicked, how insensitive you are. And you know the thing? Even if you repent later on, it's only God that knows. The people you were wicked to do not know that you have repented. You will still suffer the consequences of yesterday. I pray for you. Any seed you have sown, and I'm praying this from my heart, and receive it. Any seed, some of you right now, if you will see your relational farm is full of curses and the ill speakings of people because of the pain you've caused for others. If I don't pray this against your life, your children will be the ones who reap it. You will find good children who are hated by everybody. And you say, why is this so? They say, your mother was a wicked woman. Your father was a wicked man. Your elder ones were wicked people. I'm praying for you. Whatever you have said, in the secret or in the open, whatever you have done to add pain to others, I pray by the mercy of God. You said that during your ignorance, by the power of God, may God wipe it away. Let it not become a curse for your children and your children's children. I'm praying for you from my heart, young lady, gentleman. What you have said against preachers, what you have said against businessmen, what you have said against leaders, what you have said against parents, what you have said against the West, against Africa, any memorial in the realm of the spirit that is programming a curse for you and your children, I plead the blood. Let mercy speak for you now. Let me tell you the truth. And if you think curses are not real, think again. Generational curses is only 1/5 of the levels of curses available. You can be free from a generational curse. That's a curse that came from your past. But there is a curse that comes from your present. And there is one waiting for you in your future. You don't call a future curse a generational curse. So don't say I'm free from generational curses. That's only one. There are many kinds and many levels. A generational curse is just one out of the five kinds that destroy men. One of it is the curse of the scourging tongues of men, where men in anger for what you have done. This is the kind of curse that follows nations, that you kill a missionary or you kill someone, and before the person dies, he releases words and says, your children will serve their enemies forever. Just die. And the person dies. The grandfather dies. Later on, you will see a sincere gentleman. You will be failing in life and failing in life until the day knowledge comes to bail you out. Again, I'm praying for you. Any seed you have sown, I'm saying it now, that is going to affect your children, born or unborn, I cry to the God of heaven, may he show you mercy. Hallelujah. Let's go to the mystery of kingdom service. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. You shall serve the Lord, your God, and he shall bless your bread. 23, 25 to 26. You shall serve the Lord, your God, and he shall bless your bread. He shall bless your water and take sickness from the midst of you. And then the fullness, nothing will cast her young or be barren in your land. And the number of your days you will fulfill. Ladies and gentlemen, kingdom service has rewards. What is kingdom service? It is not just being a worker in church. It's investing your time, investing your energy, investing your resources to serve the purposes of the kingdom. And you want to understand the purposes of the kingdom? Listen to my message, Redefining the Great Commission. Listen to my message, Commanding Salvation Over Territories, Part 1 and 2. There I describe for you in detail. Listen to Kingdom Advance, my message on Kingdom Advance. Being a worker in church is just one of the many ways of being useful to the kingdom. The end time move of God has primarily three groups, three formations. One, prophetic intercessors. Two, the sent ones. The ones who are sent and diverged to different strata of human activities. The seven mountains, we call it. And then number three, those who are kingdom financiers. That's the formation. If you don't find yourself functioning in any of these, then you are irrelevant to the kingdom. Prophetic intercessors, praying the program of God to come. Those who are sent as men of God, missionaries, diplomats, professionals, they go into the system and enforce the program of God. And then those who stand as though standing behind and they supply financial resources. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Listen. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. One of the ways I know to command longevity is that your life, listen to my message on longevity. I shall not die. I've preached a message like that, showing you the biblical principles for longevity. Connect yourself. I'm saying this to you, Koinonia, my dear people. You cannot fail in life. You are surrounded with too many mysteries. It doesn't cost you anything aside your attention and your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if you decide to connect yourself to the service of the kingdom, I assure you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you become indestructible. Indestructible. When I wake up confidently, knowing that my entire life, not part of it, my entire life is spent promoting his agenda. It has nothing to do with being a preacher. Being a preacher is only a vehicle. Even if I were not a preacher, my entire life, I don't know how to give part and leave part. My best, Lord, is everything I have. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. You made me great. You made me special. You made me great. I give all I have to you. You made me great. You made me special. You made me great. I give all I have to you. My best, Lord, is everything I have. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. My best, Lord, is everything I have. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. There are battles you don't need to fight when you are part of God's, you are part of the, you are in active service. Active service. Many of us are too idle. That's why there are too many battles we are fighting. By the time you commit yourself to living for and serving the purposes of the kingdom, you have immuned yourself against unnecessary battles. Battles with no rewards. The mystery of service, kingdom service. 16. Let's finish up. The 16th mystery that I present before you as a ladder that takes you to a realm of dominion and power is the value of impartation as a strategy for spiritual empowerment. The value of impartation. Impartation is a mystery, is one of the mysteries that is responsible for transferring graces. See, we excel in life not just based on the knowledge we have, but the kind and the quality of grace and anointing that is upon our heads. It says, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Thou shalt take Joshua, in whom is the Spirit, and thou shalt anoint him. that the spirit of wisdom will come upon him. Then you shall take some of your honor and place upon him, that the nation of Israel will hearken unto him. Is someone learning? There are impartations that come on men. There are graces that empower men to manifest the God life in experience. You can have all of these things and not have impartation, or not have the requisite anointing. All blessings I have taught you comes from God through men to men. Never forget, from God. When it comes from men, it's idolatry. It comes from God, but men are the channels. God through men to men. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Let your spirit, spirit of wisdom, rest on me, rest on me. Let your spirit, spirit of wisdom, rest on me, rest on me. Oh, 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 rest on me. Oh, oh, oh. You can look at a man and know the spirit of wisdom is on him. You can look at a man and know the spirit of wisdom is not on him. Listen, our possibilities are defined by the graces that are at work in our lives. Please believe this. Please believe this. You can add grace upon grace. Favor is a grace. Impartation can get it to you. Speed is a grace. Impartation can get it to you. Are we together? There is the technology that brings influence, but there is the hear ye him anointing. It's the grace that makes a man become a voice. It is transferable. Signs and wonders. There are graces. If you don't have it, you don't have it. You would struggle and wish it just will not work. The power to prosper is a grace. It is transferable. Understanding is a grace. It is transferable. Faith. There is a spirit dimension to faith. There is the word of faith. There is the gift of faith. But there is the spirit of faith. Honor is a grace. Honor is different from respect. Men can respect you, but not honor you. Did you hear what I said? Men can respect you, but not honor you. You can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by one who is higher than you. You know what honor is? Honor is a grace that makes men perceive you correctly and reward you to match your true worth. If you don't have the grace, listen, one of the clearest proof that you lack honor is people always under-reward you. They underestimate you. You are this way, but this is how they see you. You need honor. Yours is not a deliverance issue. You need honor. As a leader, if you don't have the grace for honor, no matter how sincere you are, nobody will listen to you. Nobody will listen to you. Now, let me tell you this. The reason why many leaders are cruel and wicked is they are trying to use a human way to replace the absence of honor. So they create a system to bully people. If this thing is on you, it is on you. You will call on one man and a nation will answer because the grace is on you. If it is not on you, you can shout and shout and shout and nobody will be interested in listening to you. Impartation is powerful. It's powerful. It works. Tonight before you go, we'll try it one last time. What you did not get in January, February, March, April, before this service is ended, we will try it one last time. And I pray for you that this time around it will finally rest on you. Please be seated. Impartation is real. Let me give you the remaining number 17. Our time is up. What is the 17th mystery that controls dominion and power? Ready? The prophetic advantage. The power of the prophetic. This is the 17th mystery. Ignore the prophetic and pay the price with your destiny. It doesn't matter how corrupted the prophetic has been. Take away the baby and then throw away the bath water. The prophetic is an eternal advantage. It has redefined the possibilities of men. I was sharing with our family online this morning that as powerful as Jesus was and is, there were three prophets who had to speak over his life to finish his assignment. One, Simeon the prophet. Two, Anna the prophetess. Three, John the Baptist, who ordained him in ministry. Jesus, your Jesus. Oh, I know God by myself. I don't need anybody to speak over my life. Be careful. Be careful. It's a child statement. The prophetic is powerful. Samaria was locked up, and yet there was a possibility for abundance until one prophet said, by this time, tomorrow. By this time. By this time. There are many people's tomorrows that look like yesterday because there's no prophetic voice. Is it not in your Bible? It says, we see not our signs. There is no prophet among us, and there is none who can tell us how long. How long should this situation remain? It remains for as long as a prophetic voice has not come. But when a prophetic voice appears, it says, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. The prophetic is powerful. Don't ignore the prophetic. Now, let me tell you this. There are different kinds and different levels of the prophetic. And I submit to you that there are certain aspects of the prophetic that even those who are under the influence of those graces don't know they are being manipulated by demon spirits. What comes out of them is not purified. It is misleading and will largely lead people to perdition. Because there are rules for stepping into the prophetic office. If you miss any one of those rules, familiar spirits will close the gap. And you will not know that although you are under the influence, you love God with your heart, that operation is activated by familiar spirits. There are many people today who cannot tell you. You don't have to be fake to be under the influence of familiar spirits. There are rules that if you break, the prophetic ministry is a very delicate ministry. It requires mentorship and guidance. Most times, once people start seeing and start hearing, they graduate themselves from the school of the prophetic and they say, I'm a prophet. And Satan says, this is exactly what I want. He manipulates your seeing. He manipulates your hearing. And you will sincerely find yourself and confusing people. There are laws. One of the laws of the prophetic is that everybody who must prophesy must have a sound knowledge of the written prophecy, the prophecy of scripture. Your accuracy in delivering the things you see or you hear is with respect to your understanding of doctrine, the mysteries of the kingdom, the ways of the spirit. That's how you can purify your prophecy from errors. There are many things I've seen as a man of God. I cannot prophesy it because it's inconsistent with the written word. Are we together now? Yes. That you have seen it does not mean you should say it. No. You purify your sight with the word. You purify your hearing with the word. Is someone learning now? And then there are rules that prophecy must administer grace to the hearers. It should not sell fear. New Testament prophecy. It doesn't mean to not tell the people, but you remember the testimony of Jesus is the true manifestation of the spirit of prophecy. That means in your prophecy, there should be salvation. Jesus came to frontier salvation. There should be healing. Everything that represents Jesus should be the thrust of your prophecy. There are also rules to prophesying. One, you rebuke not an elder in public. You cannot see something about a man or a woman that can damage their business, their ministry, because of the kind of position they occupy, there are interpretations that happen in private, not in public, for the sake of the sheep that is growing. Are you seeing some of the rules now? We compromise it, and people just say, God told me. But you did not stay for him to direct you on how to say it. Seeing and hearing is only 30% of how the prophetic works. A major part of it is the interpretation. Interpretation accounts for about 70% of the strength of the prophetic. Is someone listening now? Iba o, Iba. Iba o, Iba. Iba o, Iba. Number 18, the law of love. The 18th mystery is the law of love. The law of love. If you do not know how to walk in love, you will fail in life. The zenith of transformation in the kingdom is not knowledge, is love. The proof that you are really like Christ is not abundance of knowledge, is that the love of Christ has taken hold of you, literally possessed you. Are you seeing that now? Don't just show me abundance of knowledge with hate in your heart. You are not becoming like Christ. The real key that you are like Christ is the fruit of the Spirit, not knowledge. Love supersedes knowledge by far. Did the Bible not say to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? There is a realm where knowledge fails. Only love can scale. I will prefer to be a loving person than to be a knowledgeable person. Knowledge can fail, we see in part, but love never fails. Is someone learning? Praise the name of the Lord. There are only, in my assessment, there are many others, but there are two major areas of teachings that have not been strongly taught and emphasized, and hopefully by God's grace we'll do that next year. Family life series and eschatology. These two areas, family life series and eschatology. And by the grace of God, eschatology is the study of the end times, the study of prophetic unfoldings of things. Hallelujah. And then family life series, love relationships, marriage, children, parenting. By God's grace, we've not emphasized that, but by the mercies of God, we include these ones. But I think with what you have received, 18 mysteries, interwoven through different teachings, you cannot fail. You should not fail. You must not fail. Say, I will not fail. Say it again. Say, you will not fail. Now, very quickly, what do you do with all these teachings? Number one, believe and receive. You must believe them and receive them. You must believe them and receive them. You must believe them and receive them. Number two, obtain grace to act upon them by faith and then live by the principles. Believe and receive. Number one, what do you do with these teachings? The Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them power. There is always power that follows receiving. As many as received him, John 1:12, gave them power to become sons of God, even to them that believe. Anybody who believes, anybody who receives, there is a blessing of empowerment. The power that follows what you believe, the power that follows what you have received, also goes with you. Number two, act upon what you have learned by faith and then live by it. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3, the A part. Hebrews 4, quickly, 1 to 3, the A part. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, the Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto you. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. 3, just the A part. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. We which have believed enter into financial rest, relational rest, rest influence. All those who will taste of rest, the Sabbath of dominion, are people who will believe and mix it with faith. Is someone learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Let me challenge you, ladies and gentlemen. Make up your mind. Make up your mind as a covenant that in the name of Jesus Christ, I will study this. Now, here's the promise I'm making for you. I will work with the media department and every one of these mysteries by the grace of God. We will connect the messages. I will do the work for you. We will aggregate the messages that explain some of these mysteries. And then we'll put it online. Let it be a gift to the body of Christ. So that as you see the mystery, there are teachings that are connected to it. This is by no means everything you have to learn. There's still a long way going. But I can assure you by the message of God, the one who will lay hands on these mysteries and engage them by faith will end up being a victorious believer and will walk in dominion. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's do our end of year sacrifice and then we'll pray. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21. I'd like you to listen. Give me 2 minutes. Let me put perspective and then we'll pray. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21. Everybody, 1, 2, go. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. So the end of year sacrifice, I need to put that in perspective. Please lend me your attention, everybody. It's a yearly practice that God gave us by revelation where we bring a sacrifice before the Lord every year as an expression of 4 things. Every year as we close the service for the year, by revelation, not compulsion, we come before the Lord with a yearly sacrifice. It's been our culture and our practice in this ministry. And because of the understanding and the love that supports it, it's produced wonders in the lives of people. There are 4 expressions of this yearly sacrifice. Number 1, we bring our yearly sacrifice before the Lord as an expression of, number 1, gratitude for his help and his mercy through the year. The first reason why we come before the Lord with our yearly sacrifices is as an expression of gratitude for his help and his mercy throughout the year. In other words, we are bringing our seed and we are saying, Lord, you don't need our money, you don't need all of this, but we are coming before you to say thank you for keeping us from January up until November, showing us help and mercy through our travels, through our program, through our children, and so on and so forth. Number 2, it is an expression, the second reason why we appear before the Lord with our yearly sacrifice is as a demonstration of love for Jesus. Sometimes it is just love. It's a love issue. It is not just to say thank you, but to say I love you. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved, he gave. For God so loved, he gave. And if the men who are created in his image so love, they must also give. The extent of your giving is a reflection of the extent of your love. For God so loved, he gave. If men so love like God, they give. So it's a demonstration of our love for Jesus. We bring our yearly sacrifice to tell him we love him sincerely and passionately. Number 3. The third reason why we come before the Lord with our yearly sacrifices is as a kingdom responsibility. We come before the Lord as efficient co-laborers with him to ensure that there is availability of resources for the work of his kingdom. Listen carefully. The third reason why we come with our yearly sacrifice, I'm talking to Koinonia Global, the body of Christ, and all who are connected online or will follow, as a kingdom responsibility. We are responsible kingdom citizens and we understand that we are co-laborers with God. And so when we bring in this end of year sacrifice, it adds to ensuring that we have available resources in the house of God for the work of the ministry or the work of the kingdom. This is the third reason. That we want to ensure that there never is a point where resources deplete such that we are incapacitated and cannot do the work of salvation, healing, blessing people, doing all the things that we do for the kingdom. So number three is as a kingdom responsibility. And then the fourth and final reason or intent behind our yearly sacrifice is as a way of connecting to the law of seed time and harvest. As our way of connecting to the law of seed time and harvest. What does that mean? Through our sacrifice, we schedule by faith another season of harvest for the coming year. The law of seed time and harvest, Genesis 8:22. As far as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And the Bible says, as for the earth, out of it comes bread. Bread comes from the earth. Hallelujah. Give us this day our daily bread. And if that bread comes from the earth, it then means there is a connection between your sowing and the bread that comes to you. Is someone learning? As a way of connecting to the law of seed time and harvest, we schedule seasons. God has brought us where we are today, among other factors, through the mystery of sacrifice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We give because we love God. We give because we are grateful for His help. We give because we are responsible kingdom citizens, co-laborers with God. And we know that the advancement of God's program rests upon the willingness, the givings of God's people. And then finally, we connect to the law of seed time and harvest. I'm going to pray for you and give you an opportunity to give. Who should give? Number one, the person who acknowledges that God has shown him mercy and kindness. Who should give? The person who has experienced salvation, deliverance from God. Who should give? One who loves God, loves this ministry, loves this vision, and desires to see the work of the kingdom advance. Who should give? The believer who believes in the law of seed time and harvest and wants to tap into the possibilities that come. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we are a people so trained, and there's no point cajoling us and playing politics around giving. We are matured people. You have prepared your givings. For those of us who are online, following across the nations of the earth and across Africa, the giving starts today. And then it extends up until, you know, you have the liberty. Our accounts will be displayed. And then I will pray for you. Please allow me to do the prayer before you give. It goes beyond the money. Hallelujah. The end of year sacrifice. I want to encourage everyone, if you have been blessed by this ministry, if this ministry has impacted your life, you've come to know Jesus, you've come to love Him, your children, your parents, your destiny, sons and daughters connected to this vision, here is an opportunity. By the grace of God, God has helped us and shown us mercy, but these are the mysteries of the kingdom. And God has given us an allowance to practice this, and we have done so faithfully. I want to encourage you. You're going to stand and say one prayer before I speak over your life, and then we give. But the one prayer is going to be to tie an expectation to this sacrifice. Father, I am doing this on behalf of myself. For instance, you are praying, my spouse, my children, someone who is sick in the hospital. Maybe you're a man of God and you're saying, Lord, I desire to tap into the possibilities that you've made available to this ministry, to Koinonia Global. Whether you are praying that for your business, whether you are praying that for whatever it is, the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. It says, you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yea to eight. Other versions will say, you do not know the disaster that is coming upon the earth. You don't know the evil that shall come upon the earth. Lift your voice and begin to pray in 1 minute. Father, I'm coming to you with this sacrifice. You are the only one who knows what kind of sacrifice you are bringing before the Lord. Some are giving as individuals. Some are giving as businesses with revelation, kingdom businesses. Some are giving as in the capacity of whatever it is, ministries, It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and pray. Lord, I connect to my sacrifice. Those outside, are you praying? All the overflows. And the many who are connected online. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I'm trusting that as I make this sacrifice, let my children serve the Lord. Let my children live for Jesus. I'm trusting that as I step in by faith, come through for me, over my housing, my mortgage, bring healing, bring increase. As you have lifted this ministry, lift me. As you have glorified yourself, glorify me. 1 minute, you are praying. Very quickly, we're out of time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, this has been a practice for us, for me as your son and as a believer, for us as a global ministry, those who are here and those who are scattered across the nations of the earth, from South Africa to Ghana to Kenya to Malawi to Zimbabwe, here in Nigeria, across the 36 states of this federation, to the UK, China, Australia, Canada, US, the Caribbeans, across the globe, you have, through this ministry, raised an army of mighty men, transformed, vibrant, purposeful, anointed. And Lord, it's an honor for us to come before you with our sacrifices. Some are giving from their abundance. Some are giving as a real sacrifice because they do not have much. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May the God of all grace honor you. Let fire fall on your sacrifices. And in the name of Jesus, you are sowing in tears, but I declare you reap with joy. Let doors begin to open for you. You will be enlisted among the many who have received. The Lord bless your giving. The Lord bless your sowing. In Jesus' name I pray. Allow for 2 minutes. Please display the account number just for 2 minutes. Everybody pray in the spirit. If you're sowing now, go ahead. If you're waiting till you go home, go ahead. Keep the account number. I'll give you 2 minutes. And then afterwards, we do the altar call. One instruction and we wrap up. Very quickly. Let it be from the depth of your heart. I have an agreement with God already what I will give. Usually I tell him, I ask him to tell me. And no matter how great it is, I take it with joy. Please, let's respect the altar call for one last time. You are in this place tonight, my dear brother, my dear sister, and you're saying, Apostle, I came and I enjoyed the worship. I enjoyed everything. And as I heard you share the mysteries, the Holy Spirit began to prick my heart. He began to call me to order, telling me I need Jesus. Wherever you are, or you want to rededicate your heart to Jesus, I see a dear brother coming. Please leave your seat. For your sake, we will wait. For your sake, we will wait. Do not end this year without making it right with Jesus. He is the surety. He is the guarantee for a great and excelling life. I'll begin my count, 1 to 5. Please make your way. Join these precious ones who are here. 1. Koinonia, let's honor them as they come. Come from everywhere. Come from up the balcony. Come from outside if you are able to. If you're unable to, move to your LED screens. The overflow down to the basement, outside. Move to your overflow, your LED screens. 3. Koinonia, is this how you are celebrating Jesus? Four. One final count and we're ready to pray. Make haste. Please rush quickly. Rush quickly. Rush quickly. Rush quickly. 5. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, my brothers and sisters. Let's do it this way. After we're done, and except if worship team already has what they plan to, if you already have what you plan to do when I'm away, then I'll let you be. Otherwise, once we're done, let's take 5 minutes or 10 minutes prophetic praise for gratitude. Is that fine? But if it distorts what you intended to do, my hands are up. I have to respect them. These guys know what they are doing. Praise God. But if they work with my plan, then once we do that, we clear the way, we can allow you to come and just celebrate, carry your handkerchiefs for the next 5-10 minutes. You are putting a seal to everything, and then you go home. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands, my brothers and sisters. Say after me as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name we pray. I speak the blessing over you, and I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, may the Lord bless you. Your newfound faith will be the greatest gift you have received. I decree and declare you go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name we pray. Please look to my right, that will be your left. There are counselors who will receive you, have a word with you very quickly, and then you'll be back to your seat. God bless you. Let's celebrate them. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
One more time.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Everything that will make your Christmas sad, I bind it now. It will never be a sorrowful period for you. It will never be a period of tears for you. In the name of Jesus, I declare Koinonia, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. I release you as signs and wonders. You will go back to your homes, your stations, your nations as signs and wonders. Everyone who is here present, you will be here by the 18th. The spirit of death, the spirit of the waster, the spirit of the grave is cast away over your life in the name of Jesus. From today until 18th, good news every day. Good news every day. Laughter every day. Rejoicing every day. Testimonies every day. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Whatever is left, the balance of God's favor that you are yet to experience between now and December 31st, let it show up in a hurry like rain. Let it show up in a hurry like rain. In Jesus' name, a sevenfold amen. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Congratulations. Give Jesus a big hand clap for 2025. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Together, let's share the grace. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you next year.